For a little while, I'd like to talk about the words or the verses that we find in Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 12. We know that's a Sermon on the Mount. As we look into this story, we see that Jesus had a very big following of people. Great multitudes followed Jesus because of what he did. They were amazed at his teachings, his wisdom, his miracles, and his fame spread throughout all the land. Jesus set the standard for all mankind to follow by being the perfect example here on earth. I'd first like to back up a couple chapters of chapter 3 of Matthew, if you'd like to follow along on these. Probably just going to skim over some of these anyways, but if you want to follow along, that would be great, if you want to do that. In chapter 3, we find that John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Christ, was preparing the way for Christ and preaching repentance to the people. It tells us this in Matthew 3, 1 and 2. John was also telling the people about Christ. We find this in chapter 3 and verse 11, where he's talking to the people about Christ. In chapter 3 and 11, it says, "I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge..." Excuse me, I went ahead too far there. So Jesus is better than... John was saying here that Jesus is much greater than I. He's going to do much greater things than I can do for you. I'm not even worthy to tie his shoes. That's how great he is. So John was preparing a way for Christ and preaching repentance. Later on, we find that in chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, we find that Jesus comes to be baptized by John. We talked a little bit about this in class. We've heard it mentioned quite a few times about how important baptism is. There's many in the world who don't believe it's very important, but Christ gave the example to show how important it was. Beginning in verse 13 through 17, it says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And he answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Did Christ need to be baptized? He was without sin. He didn't need to be baptized for the remission of his sins, as we are today. As we see here from this example, that Christ set the standard for baptism. He did it to fulfill all righteousness. He did it to set the standard for all to follow. And in verses 16 and 17, it says, "And the heavens were opened to Christ, and God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, descended like a dove upon him. And God said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So we can see the importance of this for God, how important baptism is, and the example that was set for all mankind. Next, in chapter 4, we see that Christ was tempted by the devil. He was led first of all by the Holy Spirit out into the wilderness, and there he was tempted by the devil. And for 40 days and 40 nights, he didn't eat or drink. I'll just say he shouldn't eat. He didn't eat. He probably would have to drink, 40 days and 40 nights, he ate nothing, and he was very hungry. The devil knew this, and of course he took advantage of this to tempt him through food. In chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, it talks about him telling Christ to command these stones to be turned into bread. But Christ told him, "You shall not tempt the Lord thy God. Man shall not live by bread alone." but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He next took him to the pinnacle of the temple and told him to jump off, and the angels will take care of you, because the scripture says they will not allow anything to happen bad to you. And again he said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Next he told Jesus to fall down and worship him, and he would receive all the beauties of the earth. He then again said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He told the devil to leave him alone, and we know that the devil did. He left him. So Christ set the standard. He overcame temptation. Christ began preaching then, we find that in verse 17, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we know that, as the story goes along, that Christ converts four fishermen, Simon Peter, Andrew, and James and John, to be fishers of men, to try to convert men to him and follow him. And he asked them to follow him and do this, and they did. That brings us to the part where Jesus is teaching and preaching and healing and doing miracles around Galilee. In verses 4, 23 through 25, chapter 4, 23 through 25. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. So Jesus was doing miracles around Galilee, and all these people would follow him and have him heal them, and doing miracles and showing the people the power of God. They came from all over to follow him. Which brings us up to the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, 1 through 12. Matthew 5, 1 through 12. It says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. In these verses we're told about certain qualities, certain characteristics that God wants us to have as Christians. He wants us to have to be approved or to be blessed by him, so that we can have that eternal home in heaven at the end if we prove faithful. The first quality it talks about is, blessed are the poor in spirit. To be poor in spirit means that a person recognizes that they need spiritual help from God through Christ. We have to have the right attitude as Christians and realize that really nothing without God. We have to have God on our side through Christ. And through God, it's the only way that we can get spiritual help we need. And only those who are poor in spirit and are humble-minded are the ones who are going to receive heaven at the end of time. Second beatitude is, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. There really could be no happiness in the fact of mourning in itself. But because Christ died, Christ brought in the new system for us to follow, and because of Christ giving his life for us, now we can be comforted and blessed by God. All we have to do is pray to God, and those others will be praying for us also, and we'll feel the power of God working in our time of mourning. In my job, I see a lot of people that are mourning. I have to, one of my requirements of my job is to go back and pick up the equipment after someone dies. And when I go back to them, you can see they're in a serious need of comfort. We should be thankful that we have God on our side so that we can receive the comfort it's talking about here. That we can be blessed in our mourning and we can feel the comfort of God that only He can give. The third beatitude is, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The definition of being meek or meekness is a person who is gentle, mild-tempered, humble, and kind. This is something that I struggle with at times, and maybe that's why I have the job that I have, because it really humbles you to see people in pain and suffering. But a meek person is a person who is gentle, mild-tempered, humble, and kind. A meek person is always somebody that's nice to be around. Their personal traits will shine through to you. You'll want to be around them more. They're gentle, kind, and mild-mannered. That's something that's so refreshing, to be around that kind of person in comparison or in contradiction of a lot of people who are in the world that are basically without meekness. What a great quality or characteristic for us to have that God really appreciates in us. And this is what we are to have as Christians. And this is what you need to let your light shine among men so that God can receive the glory. It tells us in verse 5 that the meek are blessed, and God says they shall inherit the earth. So it's very important to God that we remain meek. The next beatitude is, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. If we don't hunger and thirst after righteousness, and I know there's many times in my life that I haven't felt like that's something I want to do no matter what, God wants us to do that. He wants us to have that feeling that we should always want to look into His Word and to try to understand what it's saying for us, so that we can grow and be better for it. He wants us to hunger and thirst for that. He wants us to have a great desire, to be eager to learn all that He has to tell us in His Word, so that we can be righteous and please Him. In 2 Timothy 2:15, we're all familiar with that, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God wants us to study, and we have to study to know God's will for us, to know what to do and to know how to act and so on. It's not going to just happen. We have to make that step. We have to desire and hunger and thirst to know more about what God wants us to do. And if we do that, we will be filled with God's righteous knowledge. The next beatitude is, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Those who are merciful are those people who are considerate of other people. They look over a person's faults. They give other people a break. They pray for their enemies. They pray that God will help others. They pray that God will forgive others, and that God will help them to overcome their shortcomings. We as Christians should pray for one another, as well as those in the world, to try to change their ways. Pray for one another here to try to overcome our shortcomings. And then God will in turn show mercy to us, to those who are merciful, because it's very important to God that we are merciful. The next beatitude is, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. To be pure in heart means to be unspotted from the world, or to have a heart that's not mixed up with the evils of the sinful world. How is this possible? We all fall short. We all become spotted sometimes in our lives. And we have to be cleansed. Thank goodness that we can be cleansed as a Christian through Christ. He gave His life so we could do that, which we just showed by the commemoration of the Lord's table. Only through Christ can we remain or stay pure in heart as this Beatitude is talking about here. Only the pure in heart can be found righteous in God's sight. Only the pure in heart can make it to heaven and ever see and be with God and Christ in heaven. What a wonderful thing it is to be pure in heart. God is very happy with those who are. The next beatitude is, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Out in the world, it's not always easy to be a peacemaker, but that's what God wants us to do. God blesses those who work for peace. In Romans 12 and 18, it tells us to live in peace with all men or mankind if possible. It may not always be possible, because we know out in the world that no matter what we do, and if it's righteous, somebody might be offended by that because maybe they're not righteous in some way or another. Someone may try to stir up problems for us in the world, and that's probably going to happen to us as Christians. They may even come face to face with us and confront us. But all God asks for us is to try our very best to work towards a peaceable solution, if possible. He doesn't tell us to stand there and to be beat to a pulp. He tells us to try to work out a peaceful solution, if possible. Because those who work to make peace in whatever situation they're in, whatever they're called to do, God calls them peacemakers. He calls them the children of God, and they are blessed by Him. What a great thing to be a peacemaker. The next beatitude is, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If we're a true Christian, we're going to endure some kind of persecution in our lives. Whether it's at work, at school, could be driving, could be whatever you're doing. If you're out in the world, you're probably going to be persecuted at times in your life if you're a Christian. Whether it's knowingly or unknowingly, some people who feel threatened by Christian-type people or by Christian people will say things about them either in front of them or when they're not there. Sometimes it can be very cruel and mean things. We have the internet today where it's pretty easy to see these things happening, somebody saying something very cruel and mean about those who are Christians. So in our lifetime, it's going to happen if you're a Christian. And that's something God says that we should be thankful for, because Christ suffered for us. After a while, in a work or wherever you may be, you may not be included or asked to participate in the functions of others. Sometimes it's probably a good thing that you're excluded from these things and something that you really don't go to. So there's many situations that you might get into as a Christian, but we're to be thankful and that we can suffer for God and Christ in that manner. Sometimes we may walk in a room and all of a sudden it becomes really quiet. And you wonder if you're being talked about, what they're talking about, or whether they're talking to you about you or not. They're talking about something they shouldn't have been. But God is very pleased that you go through these things. We're persecuted for doing good. We're being a good example to others. And God's good example is being shown through us by our living righteously and by overcoming our persecution and suffering through it. Because as God says, those who suffer persecution for righteousness' sake will be rewarded later in heaven. He also tells us to rejoice and be very happy because of this heavenly reward. Because as it says here, even the prophets before us were persecuted also. So as we think of these beatitudes, being poor in spirit, being blessed for those who mourn, being meek, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, being merciful to others, being pure in heart, being peacemakers, and being persecuted for righteousness' sake, being reviled and persecuted and evil things said against us, we should rejoice and be exceedingly glad if we do these things. Because as God says, if you do these things, you'll receive the greatest reward that he's made for mankind, for those who are Christians and follow him to the end. And that's the reward of heaven. And that's what we're here for in our lifetime today, our lifetime here on earth. We're here to reach our goal of heaven and to get our reward in the end. So as these Beatitudes tell us, they give us the things God wants us to do, the way he wants us to be, the attitudes that he wants us to have, the qualities that he wants us to have, so that we can be with him in Christ in heaven someday. This time we're going to offer the gospel invitation to anyone who would like to become a member of Christ's church, of the church, and to be a member of the family of God. We're going to give you the opportunity to be baptized into his church. We're also going to give you the opportunity to take care of anything else. If there's anything else we can assist you with, we ask you to come forward as we stand and sing the invitation number.